Welcome to Measures of a Man, a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio 820. My name is Matthew Sparks, and I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, Tony Trippi. Measures of a Man is a show about men's spirituality and how we can support one another as brothers and provide opportunities for growth in our faith. As we prepare to launch into this ministry, we've decided to dedicate our first four shows to the topics of Catholic marriage and fatherhood. We have all heard that there is a marriage crisis in society and that the concept of traditional family is under attack. Even within families of faith, we are all heard stories of marriage that have fallen on hard times and even ended in divorce. Our hope is to bring a spiritual side to how we can help each other and help ourselves overcome these obstacles.
Joining us in the studio today is Perry Cahill. He has a PhD in historical theology and is a professor of historical theology and academic dean of the School of Theology at the Pontifical College Josephinum in Columbus, Ohio, where he teaches church history and theology. He's recently published a book with Liturgical Training Publications called The Mystery of Marriage, A Theology of the Body and the Sacrament. He is also married. His wife is Marissa. They've been married for 16 years, and they have two children, Andrew and Claire. Can you please open us in prayer, Professor Cahill?
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Most gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that you've given us to be together. We ask that our conversation, as it's listened to by those who hear it over the airwaves, may lead all of us deeper into the mystery of your love. Empower all those who've been called to the vocation of marriage to be living signs of your love in the world, and to draw our culture more deeply into your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Fantastic. So, in this show, we wanted to talk a little bit about the sacraments and about the power of the sacraments in order to help strengthen us in our marriages, both as spouses and as fathers. And so, starting off, what specifically is a sacrament, and what does it bestow upon the recipient?
Well, the shortest definition of a sacrament that I think is found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church is it's an outward sign instituted by Christ, entrusted to his church, that gives grace. So it's not just an empty symbol, but it's a symbol that actually affects what it symbolizes. It brings into being what it symbolizes. So, for instance, when we look at the first sacrament of the seven sacraments, baptism, the symbol is the washing of the person's soul, and it actually affects what it symbolizes. It washes away sin and instills within that person the living presence of the Holy Spirit. When we look at marriage, we often talk about marriage as being a sign of Christ's love for the church, but I don't think we say enough about that, because ultimately marriage is an effective sign. It actually makes present Christ's indissoluble, faithful, and fruitful love for his church. It affects what it symbolizes. Christ lives now. He dwells in the relationship of that couple. So every sacrament bestows what it symbolizes. Right? It gives us a particular supernatural strength to live out God's life in the world.
So it's more than just physical. It's physical and supernatural. It reaches in and touches us in a very, very real way.
Absolutely. One of the things I say about sacraments is God made us as an intimate union of body and soul. And so he comes to minister to us and save us as that composite body and soul. So he doesn't just come to us in a spiritual manner, whispering to us in our ears or somehow inspiring us, mm-hmm. With spiritual insights. But he comes to minister to us in our whole body-soul composite. So the sacraments actually help us to derive or develop healthy attachments to physical, material reality. God comes to us through the vehicle of the spiritual and makes present his love, grace, through those vehicles.
When you were talking about the washing away of sin, the sacraments wash away sin, it reminded me of baptism. Can you talk to me about the association between baptism, the sacrament of baptism, and the sacrament of marriage?
Sure.
How they relate.
The actual prerequisite for receiving the sacrament of matrimony is the sacrament of baptism. So what Christ does in the order of salvation is he takes the natural institution of marriage and he elevates it to a grace-giving sacrament. So from the beginning of time, the whole reason marriage exists to begin with is that God wanted this union between this man and this woman to be a constant sign of how he loves humanity and how he loves each one of us as a member of the human race. So Christ takes that primordial sign, if you will, and he elevates it to the level of a grace-giving sacrament. And he does that by acting through the baptismal graces of the couple. So when a man and a woman are baptized, they're inserted into the mystical body of Christ. Christ now lives in them, and they live in Christ. When they stand before God, the altar in the world, and exchange their consent to be married, it's Christ who is acting in and through them by virtue of their baptismal grace to bind them in the heart of the church and to live in them and to empower their love with his love. So it's baptism that allows the couple to actually effect or administer the sacrament to each other. And that's an important point, too, because I think many people think that the sacrament of marriage is something that's bestowed upon the couple by the blessing of the priest or some such. But in fact, the church teaches that the ministers of the sacrament is the couple, that they administer the sacrament to each other by virtue of Christ acting through them and through their baptismal identity, having been baptized in
him. And their baptism gives them the ability to be a part of that.
Yes, gives them the power to be the ministers of that sacrament.
That's why this is so important. We do this for one another.
Yes.
It's a giving, selfless act to our spouse, emulating the sacrifices and the love that Christ had for us.
Exactly.
Or has for us.
Yes, and he enters into that pledge, that consent that the couple makes to each other, and he binds them together. You know, they're now united in a way that is perfective of those aspects of all marital love, permanence, fidelity, you know, fruitfulness. He elevates those natural elements of marriage to the supernatural level.
And speaking of that, so we're in this together. it's not just two people; it's one person. So how is that individual's state of grace going to impact that marital bond? So one spouse or another, and their individual state of grace, how is that going to impact their marriage?
Yeah, that's a good question. So for any of the sacraments, in order to receive this sacrament fruitfully, to receive the grace that's offered in that sacrament, this particular offering of God's love, a person has to be in a state of grace. The one exception being the sacrament of confession or reconciliation, wherein if you're in a state of mortal sin, you go to that sacrament to be reinserted into the lifeline of grace. But all of the sacraments either they increase sanctifying grace, and they give this particular share of God's love that's united to or related to that particular sacrament. But as entering into the sacrament of marriage, if a couple is in a state of, or one of the other of the spouses is in a state of mortal sin, they can still effect the sacrament. The sacrament can still be celebrated validly. They're united by Christ in the heart of the church because it's Christ who's acting in them to unite them. Right? But the sacrament of marriage wouldn't be fruitful for them until they remedy that state of mortal sin through the sacrament of confession. So then let's talk about the rest of married life. The grace of the sacrament of marriage is present consistently throughout the couple's marriage, from the time they exchange their consent until the time when they exit this world, till death do they part. If at some point in their married life one or the other spouses falls into mortal sin, then the fruitfulness of the grace that's offered in the sacrament of matrimony won't be effective in their lives, but it can be revived, rejuvenated, revivified by receiving the sacrament of confession. And there again, now they can access the graces that Christ offers them through the sacrament of marriage.
So in the same way that baptism gives them that ability to enter the sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of reconciliation gives them the ability to restore and remain fruitful in the sacrament of
marriage. That's correct. By receiving the sacrament of confession after falling into a state of serious sin, the grace of the sacrament of marriage is revived again in their lives.
Great.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Measures of a Man, a listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Matthew Sparks, and I'm joined in the studio today by my co-host Tony Trippi and Professor Cahill. We are discussing how the sacrament of marriage lives within us, lives within our spouse, and looking for ways that spirituality can help us stay within and fruitful in that sacrament.
So a regular scheduled going to reconciliation, so making sure that you take part in reconciliation as often as possible, not only cleanses your own soul, but can be a real help to your marriage.
Oh, absolutely. Two things come to mind. One is, should one of the spouses or both spouses fall into mortal sin, confession allows the Christ to enter into that situation, heal it, and open the couple up again to receiving the graces that Christ offers them in the sacrament of marriage. Secondly, I think confession is absolutely important for a couple to help them, if you will, hone skills that are important for any married couple. When I talk to engaged couples, I tell them that I think there are three skills that they have to become proficient in if they're going to have a successful marriage. And those skills are the ability to communicate well with each other, the willingness to sacrifice for each other, and the willingness to be able to give and receive mercy and forgiveness. The sacrament of confession trains you in all of those things. So, for instance, the ability to communicate. As I learn how to communicate my sins, you know, to Christ through the priest, I can communicate better with my wife, right, on a day in and day out basis. The ability to sacrifice my ego in going to confession, you know, embracing the virtue of humility, trains me in the ability to sacrifice for my wife and my family on a day in and day out basis. Also, the Eucharist is incredibly important in training in that element of sacrifice. But then finally, the ability to give and receive forgiveness clearly is linked to the sacrament of confession. You're not going to be able to give and receive forgiveness well with your spouse if you don't do it with Jesus. And in my own experience, you know, I think couples underestimate the ability to give new life to each other by being willing to offer and receive forgiveness. There's nothing, you know, when I've screwed up, there's nothing that
which
that,
we all have.
Yes. There's nothing that gives us life more than saying, you know, to our wives, honey, I messed up. Mm-hmm. And then hearing our wives in response say, I forgive you. Right. And if a couple can't do that, if they can't acknowledge their weakness with each other, ask for forgiveness for each other and give that forgiveness, their marriage is going to be rather rough. Right. And confession trains us in all those necessary skills for a successful marriage.
And that's such great insight, because I've always looked at confession as such a beautiful thing personally, and to get that light, the heaviness of sin off of me, but to see that insight of how that is helping my marriage as well. And any time I can go, that I love how you put it trains you for skills that you need for a successful marriage as well.
I think it shows the divine wisdom behind the sacrament of confession, right? And how all the sacraments are really integrated with each other, although mm-hmm. they offer distinct graces, right? Distinct offerings of God's love for these particular situations. They all go together, right?
Let me ask you something about the mercy.
Yeah.
The apostles were told the sins that you hold will be held in heaven, and the sins that you forgive will be forgiven here on earth. Now, is there a parallel to that and what you were saying about mercy and forgiveness in marriage?
Oh, I think so. You know, I think the worst thing that a married couple can do is to keep score. You know, that you wronged me here, right? Remember when you did this? Yeah. Remember when your parents did this? You can bring your family into dispute.
Remember when your mom did this
five years ago?
That's right. Keeping score is a horrible way to promote a successful marriage. There's Scripture tells us that, you know, not to let the sun go down on our anger, and I think that's an incredibly important wise piece of divinely inspired advice for married couples. You know, don't go to bed angry. Don't keep score. Don't hold grudges. You know, always be
forgive.
Willing, yes, be willing to ask for forgiveness and be willing to give it. You know, 70 times seven times. You know, that's you can't go through life together, forming this joint life as a married couple, if you're constantly trying to one up each other, right, or keeping score of how you wronged me or how I wronged you.
Don't come before this altar if you need to forgive your brother.
Yes,
we should be thinking that very same thing before we go to Mass, as far as our spouses and our children are concerned. Do you think that's the case?
Oh, absolutely. I think many times in our examination of conscience, or in reflecting on that passage of Scripture that you just cited, we're thinking about others outside of our home instead of those closest to us. Mm-hmm. The reality is, we all will hurt most severely those who are closest to us, those whom we love most, because our words, you know, our carelessness ultimately hurts those who are nearest to us. And we need to be mindful of how our words and behaviors are affecting them. Start that that examination of conscience interior to the home, most precisely first.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how often we forget that. In your book, there was a great story, and I was hoping that you'd tell us a little bit about it. You were engaged, and you received a card from a good friend. Can you tell us a little bit about what the card said and,
sure.
and how it impacted you at the time?
Yeah. A friend of mine gave me an engagement card that just had on the front of it a beautiful painting of the crucifixion. And when I opened it up, there was no pre-printed text. He had simply written, welcome to your engagement and the three rings of marriage, the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffer ring. And that's all he wrote. And I remember thinking, wow, this guy's marriage must be awful. But what he meant was, you know, and talking with him afterwards and then also experiencing marriage for the first year, what he meant was the suffering of marriage is, it's not that somebody is imposing something on you, that your spouse is somehow making you suffer. That what Christ is asking of you when you embrace the vocation of marriage is to die to yourself and experience this experiencing the suffering of the death of the ego, so that you can be drawn out of yourself and embracing this other person, your spouse, and forming this joint life together. You know, I think many couples, when they experience hardship, especially in the first 5 years of marriage, which seems to kind of be the crucible time for young married couples, they think that somehow their spouse is doing something to them, right, to cause them suffering. When in fact, if they reflect more deeply, the difficulties they're experiencing, the suffering that they're experiencing, is the fact that they're struggling against letting go, right, of their selfishness, of their solipsism, right, mm-hmm. And to embrace their spouse. That's the real suffering of marriage, this moral death to the ego, right, so that you can actually be a free giver of love.
You're listening to Measures of a Man on listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Tony Trippi, and I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, Matthew Sparks. And we're talking today with Professor Cahill from the Josephinum on sacraments and how they can strengthen our marriages.
Professor, you've given us lots of insight on how to strengthen our marriage through the sacrament, but how does the graces of the sacrament of marriage help us in fatherhood as well?
Oh, sure. You know, the grace of the sacrament of marriage not only helps us to kind of remedy sin in our own lives and to build up the church, right? But it also helps us to be this constant living witness of the church as the domestic church in the home. So when Christ calls us to marriage, he calls us not only to embrace this other person and to be a couple, but to be open, you know, to being fruitful and building up the church through having children and forming them in the faith. The grace is to be that head of the household, if you will, you know, to set up the environment in which one's whole family can grow in union with Christ. That's part of the grace that Christ offers there. So it's not just, you know, to be a good spouse to my wife, but the grace is there to be a good father to my children, and to be open to Christ working in and through me to show me how he's calling me to be that leader, you know, for my household and to guide my children in righteousness and in truth.
You know, you mentioned marriage and the impact it has on the church as a whole. I don't know if many of us think about that so much, but that's really important, isn't it? I mean, without marriage, what happens to the church?
Right. I mentioned the term domestic church, which is a term that John Paul II used quite frequently and that our current Holy Father is using. It actually is a term that comes from the early church, but the church of the home, right? That each individual family unit is really the building block of the larger church. You know, how is it that children are evangelized? Well, their parents are the first evangelists to their children. You know, the family is really the first unit of the church that anybody encounters. So as the health of the family goes, so goes the health of the church. The family is called to participate as the domestic church in Christ's mission of sanctifying the world. So for instance, you know, Christ exercises his ministry of salvation as mediator between God and man, as priest, prophet, and king. Well, every single baptized believer participates in those three offices of Christ, priest, prophet, and king, and so does the family as a unit. Right. So as a unit, the family makes its priestly offering interior to the home in the form of prayer, goes out into the world to sanctify the world as a family unit. Right. As prophet, the family interior to the home, the parents, first of all, educate the children in the faith. Right. And then the family can go out and be an evangelizing unit in the culture, exercising prophetic ministry, kingly ministry, you know, ordering the home in worship to Christ, right, and in service to life and love, especially. That begins in the home, and then going out as a family unit and serving life and love in the larger culture in a myriad of ways, right? Mm-hmm. All of those are ways in which the family builds up the church, and not only the church, but the larger society as this evangelizing unit, this domestic church.
When you talk about serving the culture, I think to myself, you know, we obviously are all constantly working on our own marriages, our own domestic church, our own family. What's a simple way that if we see a brother in Christ who's really struggling or falling on those hard times, what's a simple way we can remind them of the power of the sacrament and how to help them without being patronizing or demeaning in some way?
Yeah, sure. I think the first thing that comes to mind is just our current Holy Father, Pope Francis, you know, talking about constantly the power of God's mercy, mm-hmm. right? And first of all, not to become dejected. You know, when you see a brother or a sister struggling in their marriage, for instance, to encourage them, there's nothing that Christ cannot come in and heal, there's nothing that he can't help, right? So to encourage them to, if they need to get back to confession, right? But also to remind them that in the sacrament of marriage itself, Christ is constantly there. Mm-hmm. It's not like they have to, like,
you're not on your own.
Yeah. It's not like they have to go search for him somewhere. He's constantly there. And all they have to do is open themselves up to him in prayer and call on him to give them the strength they need to deal with whatever struggle they're facing.
And really, it sounds like what is the most common block to that is our own ego and getting past ourselves to allow Christ. He's there. We need to let him shine through us and get past that ego.
Absolutely. I mean, Pope Francis is constantly talking about, you know, the only thing that can block God's mercy is me failing to acknowledge that I am sinful and that I need Christ's help, thinking that I am self-sufficient, or mm-hmm. on the other hand, despairing of Christ's love, thinking that I'm so bad that he can't possibly help me out of this situation.
To be hopeless, right?
Yes.
Is to push him away.
Yes.
Well, that's great. So along those lines, thinking about now, it's as opposed to our brothers, thinking about ourselves, thinking about us men individually, what one thing could our listeners start doing today that would help them be better fathers and husbands?
A couple things come to mind. I think one is pray, right? Mm-hmm. Open oneself mm-hmm. up to the graces that Christ offers you in the sacrament of marriage through prayer. The graces are there, but to access them, you have to open your heart to the action that Christ wants to work in you, in your heart and in your soul. So that's number one. If you don't have an active prayer life, start today. The other thing is, I think, you know, practically, what are some practical actions I can take in my relationship with my wife and my kids to help me be a better husband and father? Examine myself on how present I am to them. I remember one time a good friend of mine gave me advice when I became a father. He said, you always remember that your children don't need presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Mm-hmm. They need presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. And I think to be present to one's wife and to one's children is a concrete way to become a better husband and father. And I would say one more thing, which John Paul II said at one point during his papacy, is the best gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. Mm-hmm. So the more that one's attentive to one's wife and trying to show her in concrete ways every day, even if it's just by saying, I love you or I appreciate you, the more the husband does that, the more he is for loving his children at the same time.
Thank you so much.
Setting such a great example like that.
How to model God's love for our kids.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being with us on Measures of a Man, a listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Matthew Sparks, and I've been joined today in the studio by my co-host Tony Trippi and Professor Cajal from the Josephinum. Professor, if you wouldn't mind leading us in a closing prayer.
Sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Most Blessed Trinity, we thank you for the time that you've given us to be together today. We ask that you lead us and all of those who hear this conversation deeper into your love. Please help all couples whom you've called to the sacrament of marriage in your church to be living signs of your love for the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Son, Holy Spirit.